Only, I was telling Rita about these new high-speed trains. They go round the bend without slowing down. Sounds a bit like the Wall of Death in the circus, but I suppose they know what they're doing. I said you can get from London to Glasgow in less than 4 hours. She said, what for? Oh, that's Rita's answer to everything. I said, what for? I said, well, if you happened to be in London and you wanted to get to Glasgow in a hurry, it'd be jolly useful. But you can't get the bus, Rita said. I'm not talking about buses. I said, I'm talking about trains. She said, but you have to get the bus to get to the station and you can't get one. They don't come round anymore. I said, you can get a taxi. In any case, there's bound to be some people who live around the station who want to get to Glasgow. She said, what for? I said, well, they might have relations up there. Some people do. She said, I wouldn't go up there. It's too cold. I said, the railways haven't arranged all this for your convenience. They've put it on for the travelling public who live around King's Cross and need to get to Glasgow in a hurry. That stopped her for a bit, but not for long. She said, is it first class? I said, what difference does it make whether it's first class or second class? They both get to Glasgow at the same time. They're linked up. In any case, I said, the railway people are doing away with second class. They say that second class is a first class service and it isn't right to call it second class and have people thinking it's not as good. She said, not as good as what? I said, not as good as the first class, of course. But she said, no, she said, making a mountain out of a molehill. She said, if the second class is a first class service, why did they call it second class in the first place? I said, you've lost me now. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I said, anyhow, I said, take it from me, they're doing away with second class. They're going to call it something else. They're offering a prize to anyone who can think up a different name. She said, what's the prize? I said, the prize is a first-class ticket to anywhere you want to go. She said, I don't want to go to Glasgow. I said, you don't have to go to Glasgow. You can go anywhere you want. You can go to Edinburgh, for all they care. She said, now, wait a minute. She said, I thought you said it was all first class now. No, no, I said, they're going to call the second class something else because it's a first class service. That doesn't mean they're doing away with the first class. They'll always be a first class. She said, but if the second class is going to be as good as the first, I said, as good as the old first class, but the new first class is going to be better. She said, better than what? I said, better than it is now. And better than the first-class service you get in the second-class, or whatever it is they decide to call it. In fact, you could say that the old first-class will be the new second-class, only they won't call it that in case people get the wrong idea. She said, what's the second prize? I said, oh, well, a second-class ticket to anywhere you want. She said, it doesn't sound right. I said, I know, but that's what it says. She said, but what about the food? I said, food? She said, in the dining car. I said, oh, the food will be the same. It'll be the same, but it'll just be served up different. She said, how different? I said, how do I know how it'll be different? They'll think of something. In the new first class, the steward will come along and cut up your meat. I don't know. I mean, why can't you be satisfied without asking so many questions? And she said, will the old second class, or whatever they call it, have paper plates? I said, I don't know. It'll be different. That's all I know. Served up different. They might just chuck it along the corridor. She said, oh, waiter service. She said, you'll need something going to Glasgow. Not a lot, I said, not for 4 hours. She said, yes, but it's just as far. I said, of course it's just as far. Nobody can do anything about that. Look, I said, they're doing away with dining cars. You'll get served in your seat. All the dining cars are first class, and the railway people have found out that second class passengers have been spending a lot of time in there eating. Old age pensioners get in there on cheap tickets, especially when they can't find a seat. She said, oh, don't you get a seat then? Well, I said, it's not guaranteed, is it? How do they know how many people are going to turn up? Well, she said, I'm not standing all the way to Glasgow. I said you didn't want to go to Glasgow. She said, I don't. Not now. Gladys, she said, got locked in the toilet and got took past her station. I said, you can't blame the railway people for that. It wasn't her fault, she said, but she had to pay extra to come back. Serve her right, I said, as people go into the moon and coming back in perfectly good order, and all your sister Gladys can do is get stuck in a toilet in a train. I don't know what's up there, she said. Where? I said, on the moon. Well, I said, I don't think there is much up there, but we had to know, didn't we? Otherwise, we'd have gone on wondering. We'd have never known there was nothing up there if somebody hadn't gone to take a look. She said, it's a long way to go to find there's nothing there. I said, well, that's just how it appears to you. After all, you're just not adventurous, are you? You don't even want to go to Glasgow, let alone the moon. If we were all stick in the muds like you, Columbus would never have discovered America. She said, it's against nature. I said, what is? She said, going to the moon. No good will come of it. Disturbing the forces. Look what happened to our Walter. Well, I said, what did happen to your Walter? She said, nobody knows. Just then there was a terrific gust of wind. The windows rattled and I heard some tiles falling off the roof. There, she said, now look what you've done. He's very sensitive, is our Walter. Your Walter, I said, it's the wind. Yes, she said, but who started it? I'll have to go up in the loft, I said, and see what's happened. So I got the ladder and climbed up into the loft and found there was a hole in the roof. He's forced his way in. Who has? Our Walter, she said. It's about his time. It'll be your time, I said. If you keep on going like you'll be carted off. Your Walter got sick on the garden swing, so it's a pound to a pinch of snuff that he won't be up on the roof. Don't stand there looking like the Black Witch at the funeral. Ring Charlie and see if he'll come round. I'll see if I can stop it up with some cardboard. She said, what shall I tell him? I said, tell him there's some slates blown off the roof. What else is there to tell him? She said, shall I tell him about Walter? Just then there was a crash in the front room. What's that? I said, he never liked that vase, she said. Who that? I know, you're Walter. Look, I said, it's just the draught blowing down the stairs. Let me get Charlie. She said, he won't stop him. I said, hello, is that you, Charlie? Do you think you could bring your long ladder round? Some tiles have blown off the roof. And here, give me that phone. Rita said, I never touched it. I said, you jog my elbow. I wasn't anywhere near you, she said. I said, oh, hello, Charlie. Oh, no, it's all right. Somebody messing about with the phone. Who is, said Charlie. I said, Rita's brother, Walter. But, said Charlie, I thought he was dead. I said, he is, but he doesn't seem to believe it. Oh, Charlie, are you still there? What, he said. I said, oh, I thought we'd been cut off. I've got to go out, Charlie said. I've got to take the dog for a walk. I said, you haven't got a dog. I know, said Charlie. But what about the ladder, I said. He said, I've lent it to the vicar, he said. He's got a bat in the belfry. I said, well, send the vicar around with the ladder. We might need him as well. Well, you know, Charlie's a proper talking newspaper. He must have told somebody, for in no time there was a crowd of people outside and a reporter knocking on the door. She said, I'm from the local paper. Is it true that you've got a poltergeist? A what? I said. I never really got on with Walter, but it's a bit strong calling him that. Hold on, said this reporter, I'll ring the television people. It's no use doing that, I said. There's nothing to see, just cups and saucers flying through the air and somebody playing the spoons with no hands. Some people, I said, will do anything to get on the television, but he's that way out that if anybody wanted to take a picture, he'd stop doing it just to be awkward. When the people from the television arrived, the place was soon in chaos. They set up the cameras and started asking everybody what they'd had for breakfast. There was a chap in a navy cap who kept shouting at everybody to hold it. They were there for about 3 hours and there was no sign of anything happening. Rita kept making cups of tea and everybody kept drinking it and eating biscuits, and the man in the navy cap started getting edgy. We can't stay here all day and go back with nothing, he said. Can't you get him to throw something? Look, I said, he's nothing to do with me. I'm only related to him by marriage. He's not a blood relative. I mean, he never took any notice of me when he was alive. Here, said the man in the navy cap, here's my card. If anything starts happening, give me a bell. So they all packed up the gear, and just as they were leaving, a great heap of slates fell off the roof and splattered all over the road. Blast, said the man in the navy cap. We missed all that. I'm not asking him to do it again, I said. I'm not sure how I stand with the insurance about this. Can't you put out something that'll tempt him, he said. I don't want to tempt him, I said. No, he said, only we're a bit thin on the news tonight, so it'd be a great help if you could get him to do something drastic. He used to like liver and bacon, Rita said. That was his favourite. It's not much use to him now, I said. Then the reporter started poking her oar in. What did he die of? She said. Look, I said, the papers took no interest in him when he was alive. Now he's dead, you want to know all the sordid details. He had a heart attack when they brought in the new money. He couldn't work it out and he thought he was being swindled. I told him he only needed 100 pennies to the pound now, but he wouldn't have it. And when the petrol went over to litres, he said, it'll be the beer next. And he seemed to lose all interest in life. You see, he'd got all his money in foreign stamps. By this time, the man in the silly cap had rung the Taverna Cafe and ordered a plate of liver and bacon to be sent over in a taxi. When it arrived, all hell broke loose. 3 panes of glass went in the kitchen, and the gramophone that hadn't worked for years suddenly started playing Joseph Locke in a selection from White Horse Inn. That's the stuff, said this part-time sailor. We'll print that. Do you think he'll do any more? I mean, if we got him a suite. Can't be lamb's liver, said Rita. He'd know the difference. Well, what do you expect, I said, from a Greek cafe? It was a case like this up in Glasgow, said this. I said, now, don't start that again, said Rita. A man had been buried in odd socks, said this reporter woman, and somehow he couldn't settle. Well, I said, did they find him another pair? No, she said, they were out of stock. Look, I said, can't we get some sense or order here? If you're in touch with your Walter, Rita, why can't you ask him what he wants? Rita closed her eyes and started humming. She only does it to aggravate everyone. Never does any good. Yes, she said, acting up. What is it? Well, come on, I said, before he starts tearing up the floorboards. First class, she said. Super. I said, what? And first class ordinary. I said, what are you talking about? She said, it's Walter. He wants to enter the competition anyway. I got fed up, put my hat on and went down to the local. Oh, the number of times that woman's driven me into the local.